What is up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show. Now, before we go ahead and get started, I want to go ahead and tell you guys about Disrupt Week. Now, Disrupt Week is an amazing, amazing event. It's a week-long, yes, you heard me right, a week-long networking entrepreneurship-based event in San Juan, Puerto Rico. My God, you want to go network with somebody? Go network in paradise. Network in San Juan, Puerto Rico. From October 19th to October 26th, Disrupt and Build Your Empire are hosting this event, Disrupt Week, to help bring 50-plus speakers and 500-plus attendees together to network and make the world a better place. Now, if you want to come to this event and listen from speakers like Anthony Delgado, Chris Delgado, Casey Adams, John Malott, Alex Quinn, Sam Bakhtiar, Stephen Campolo, the list goes on and on and on and on. If you want to hear from people like this, go ahead and hit me up in my DMs on Instagram at @Chase_Henderfit. Let's go to Puerto Rico, baby. Let's make it happen. Now, that's it for that. Let's continue on with the show.
Welcome to the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show, where we speak with elite individuals and top performers and sing what it takes to stay healthy and get wealthy. Are you ready to be elite? Are you ready to be part of the 1%? Well, then without further ado, let's get it.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show. Now, today we're doing something a little bit different, and I couldn't be more excited. So we are bringing on somebody who has had an insane story. When I say insane, I mean insane, because he is a stage 3 testicular cancer survivor. He's gone through multiple different comas, multiple different health issues, and yet he is still thriving, and he's actually a motivational speaker going on multiple different podcasts, speaking at multiple different events, and it's just making life his bitch. So without further ado, please welcome my good friend, Mr. Matt Odey. Matt, how's it going?
Thanks, brother. Wow, that was an awesome, awesome intro. I appreciate that, Chase. And dude, just so grateful to be here and just be able to share my story today. And I really hope I can give some people value. And you know, if you're going through something in life, you know, I just want to let you know you're not alone. And I'm here to just share my story and hopefully help some of you guys with it. So
perfect. Well, I'm beyond excited. I know I've heard your story a couple times now, but every time I hear it, it's just like, it makes me just feel so much more empowered just to know that, like, it doesn't matter what life throws at you, you can still make something of yourself and just keep pushing forward.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate that. And, you know, I have some absolutely amazing, amazing people around me. So, yeah, dude, I'm ready to share my story when you are, man.
We're all ears, man. Go ahead. All
right, cool, bro. All right. So to start my story, guys, we're going to go to a very important date. And that is March 17th, 2016. I'm 24 years old at the time. I live in Cleveland, Ohio. It's St. Patrick's Day, so I'm out with all my friends. We're having a couple of drinks, and I run into this girl. Her name's Lauren, and, you know, we have a couple of drinks. Of course, I get her number at the end of the night. Yeah, get her number, which was, you know, probably more not me, but her. So it went well. So, you know, as a week went by, we started talking more, went on a couple of dates. It's about a month and a half goes by. We're dating. So we're doing all these summer activities, from hiking to kayaking to, you know, you name it. And then all of a sudden I started noticing these minor back pains. Now at the time I'm 185 pounds. I'm a personal trainer. So I work out 5 to 6 days a week. I'm eating healthy every single day. And I'm really taking care of my body. So, you know, at 24 years old, I said, you know, I'm going to shrug this off. It's probably just something that has to do with lifting. So as weeks go by, it gets worse and worse to the point where it gets even hard for me to, you know, start walking. And then at a certain point, it even gets hard for me to start standing. This is about 2 months in. And of course, I'm still being stubborn until one night. I'm over at Lauren's house. You know, we're just hanging out. And I end up staying over the night. So I wake up one night and I end up puking up blood. Now, it was kind of weird because we had sangrias the night before. So I said, it could just be food poisoning, not knowing that my back pain had anything related to it. So I let it go again, of course, being completely stubborn. The next day, I went to my apartment and I ended up puking up blood again. I was so dizzy, so fatigued at this point. I was seeing stars. My dad had to come pick me up. And he had to take me directly to the emergency room. They did a blood test on me, and they found out that I lost 2/3 of the blood in my body, which is actually equivalent to a gun wound shot. So they rushed me off to a local hospital, where they ended up giving me 6 bags of blood, and they thought it was an ulcer that was causing the bleeding in my stomach. So the next day, I go into a minor surgery. I come out. I'm eating cereal with my parents, thinking it's all over, ready to go home. And then all of a sudden, my doctor walks in with a blank stare in his eyes. Right then, I knew something was wrong. He goes over to my parents and he says, can I please speak to both you two in private? And I remember just grabbing him and saying, no, if you're going to tell them, you can tell me. So he sits down, he grabs my hand, he looks me in my eyes and he says, Matt, we have found an 11-centimeter tumor in your small intestine. We believe it's cancerous and we have to rush you to the main campus of the Cleveland Clinic immediately.
Holy shit.
I remember looking at my parents who were crying at the time. And the only thing I could think of was, how am I going to be strong for them? How am I going to be strong for Lauren? How am I going to be strong for my friends and my family and everybody who needs me? This is a good lesson for all of you out there. You are going to get unexpected news in life, but you can say two different things. You can either say, why is this happening to me? Or how is this happening for me? If you say, how is this happening for me? You can use it as a lesson. You can use it as something to learn from, become a better person from it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take this as, how is this happening for me? Even though it was one of the most tragic news you can get, I still said, how is this happening for me? So within the next day, I was rushed to the main campus of the Cleveland Clinic where I had family, friends flooding in. And I was still emotionless for some reason, you know, because I think I was still in shock. I didn't really know what was going on. And then all of a sudden, Lauren walks in and all my emotions just start spewing out. I'm anxious. I'm nervous. I'm starting to, you know, start to feel everything because I just remember seeing her and thinking she'd only been dating me for 2 months. And to put this burden on her, it's just not fair. So if she didn't want to be with me, I wasn't going to hold anything against her. But you know what she did? She looked at me. She gave me a hug and we started crying. And right then I knew she was going to be my rock throughout this entire journey. And, you know, so right after that, they did about 100 different tests on me and eventually found out that I had stage 3 testicular cancer. Now, the weird part was most people would say, Matt, you said you had a tumor in your small intestine. Why didn't it form in your testicle? Did you have any symptoms there? I didn't, because it was a really like rare form of testicular cancer that it started in the testicle, but it ended up, you know, transferring up into my small intestine. So that was kind of a weird scenario that the only symptom I really had was that back pain. But I would urge anybody out there, if you have any symptoms, like a back pain or anything, just go get it checked out. Worst thing that can happen is they find something sooner rather than later. And so immediately I get, you know, brought to this room, I'm hooked up to an IV and I'm put on 3 different rounds of chemotherapy, 3 different drugs as well. I was on what's called cisplatin, etoposide, and bleomycin. Now, not only did these drugs make me fatigued and nauseous, but I ended up losing my hair. It completely destroyed my lungs, so it was really hard to breathe. It was really hard to do activities. And to make matters worse, about a month into my chemotherapy, I ended up losing my 3-year-old puppy, Duke, who was diagnosed with cancer 6 months before me. I took him to every single one of his chemotherapy sessions before I was diagnosed. And when I was, you know, diagnosed with cancer, he was basically my partner throughout all this. And to lose him was just a completely devastating mentally for me. I remember going to, you know, start making excuses for myself. I started having that self-doubt. I started to have some type of depression and I didn't even want to go to my chemotherapy sessions. I started to almost give up on my life for pretty much an entire week. And until one day I got up off of my bed and I said, is this what my parents, is this what Lauren, is this what Duke would want me to do right now? I said, absolutely not. So you know what I did? I got my ass up off that bed and I started eating healthier. I started walking on the days I felt good. I started to just better myself in any way possible. I went to my chemotherapy sessions and within another month, I had finally finished my full rounds of chemotherapy. It was an extremely gratifying day. And my dad said, you know what, Matt, we're going to host an event to celebrate you from, you know, basically defeating, you know, your chemotherapy sessions. And we're going to call it Mustaches for Matt. Now, here's the reason we're going to call it Mustaches for Matt. Because when I was going through my chemotherapy, I ended up losing my red hair. I have red hair. But I kept this dirty, dirty mustache. I can't even go today if I tried. It was bad. And my friends, they said, you know what? We're not going to make fun of you. And so instead, all of my guy friends said, you know, we're going to grow mustaches with you throughout this entire journey as well. So they grew mustaches throughout the whole event. And we said, you know what? We're going to just host an event on Thanksgiving morning. We don't know how many people are going to show up. We're going to give shirts to people who do arrive. And we'll just see what happens. Well, the day arrived and we had over 400 people show up to this event. Girls wore fake mustaches. guys had their, you know, mustaches. I gave a speech. My dad gave a speech. There was also a 5 and 10K race that day where everybody ran it. I cheered for them at the finish line. It was just such an amazing, gratifying day. And, you know, it just showed to, you know, went to show how much support I had in my life. And I didn't even realize half of those people were there and praying for me. And that's a lesson for all of you. Do not try to fight your battles by yourself. You have support, you have people in your life. And if you try to go through life by yourself, you are going to be badly mistaken by how difficult that road is going to be. And I'm telling you, you have people, you know, that you might not even know praying for you, might not even know that are there for you when you need them. So don't be afraid to ask for help. And I'm telling you, it makes a world of difference. So after that, about 2 weeks later, I go to my oncologist to figure out my tumor markers. And he says, Matt, we have some good news and we have some bad news. Good news, your tumor has shrunk from 11 centimeters down to 3 centimeters. Bad news, your tumor is now wrapped around what's called your inferior vena cava. Now, your inferior vena cava is basically a main vein that goes from the bottom of your body all the way to your heart. We're going to have to remove that vein. We're going to have 3 surgeons involved, and we don't know how long the surgery is going to take. So 2.5 weeks go by to set up my surgery day. I'm obviously nervous as hell. I'm freaking out, but I also said in the back of my mind, okay, this is the last step in my journey. At least I thought so. So I get into the surgery room. It ends up being a 10-hour surgery where they cut my stomach open from my left hip all the way to my right hip where I had stitches, and they end up removing my vena cava. But here was the main complication. When I went into that surgery, I was 145 pounds. And if you remember back then, I was 185 pounds. So I lost about 40 pounds throughout my chemotherapy session. Coming out of that surgery, I was 190 pounds. I'd gained 50 pounds from swelling in my stomach when they removed that vena cava. And I just remember telling my doctor, I said, is this something normal? He said, this isn't normal, but it should just eventually drain, you know, out of your stitches. And they had something to help drain it. So a week goes by, I'm released from the hospital. I still just didn't feel like something was right. It was really hard to walk. It was really hard to move. Another week goes by and all of a sudden my draining just stops. Just like that. Within 24 hours, I was in so much pain. The Oxycontin, the Percocet they had me on did absolutely nothing. I was rushed back to the emergency room. Within minutes, I was in an ambulance and rushed back to the main campus of the Cleveland Clinic. From here, I completely blacked out. And this is basically me telling you a story from Lauren, my friends, my family, my parents. So when I got to the hospital, they did a bunch of tests and they found out that my body was completely shutting down because the draining was just stuck in my stomach. So they ended up having to do 3 surgeries to remove 7 liters of fluid out of my stomach, causing me to go into complete kidney and liver failure. I had a cone drilled inside of my head to relieve brain swelling. I had a catheter in my neck and in my chest for dialysis, which they thought I was going to be on for the rest of my life. I had a breathing tube shoved down my throat. I had wires hooked up to every single part of my body, and I was in a 2-week coma. Now, I'm going to share a testament of faith with you guys, and push zero faith on anybody. So whatever you believe in, stay to it. But for me, and know for a fact, God had a purpose for me. And here's why. We had 3 major prayer services while I was in my coma, where hundreds of people would go to these, you know, churches and pray for me. Well, in the middle of the 3rd prayer service, I'm guessing you guys already know what happened. I woke up from my coma. Now, just from me waking up from my coma, this was God basically telling me, Matt, this isn't the end of your journey. This is just the beginning. But you know what? It wasn't like I could just stand up, walk out, and I'm good to go. No, what it was I was hooked up to a bed where I couldn't move. All I could do was open my eyes and wiggle my fingers. That was it. So a week went by, progression, still couldn't really move, but they ended up taking the breathing tube out of my mouth. I could talk a little bit. So they said, you know what? The next step is we're going to take one of the catheters out of your neck. So they go to take out one of the catheters in my neck, and something terribly wrong happens. I end up having an arrhythm heartbeat. I end up going into cardiac arrest, where they have to do 8 minutes of CPR on me, and I'm back into another 1-week coma. At this point, I end up waking up. It's now Valentine's Day. I had my surgery in mid-January. Now Valentine's Day. I've been in the ICU room for weeks now. And I just remember seeing flowers and hearts. And I remember seeing my girlfriend. And I remember just trying to stand up. I couldn't even move my arms. I couldn't move my feet. I couldn't do anything. The only thing I could do was just mumble some words. And it was really scary at first. But in the back of my head, I said, you know what, Matt? I will get through this, even though I have to completely relive my entire life over again. So after that, like I said before, I was 190 pounds. When I got out of that second coma, I was 130 pounds because I couldn't eat. I couldn't drink anything. And on top of that, the only thing they were giving me was IVs. So from laying in my bed to sitting up took almost a week. From sitting to standing, once again, took almost a week. And from standing to taking my very first steps, another week. Eventually, I started making small and small progress, and I was released out of the ICU after about a month to a month and a half being in there. And I still remember when I got to this recovery room, it wasn't like I was out of the hospital, I was in an additional recovery room. I still felt something just wasn't right. But I kept persevering. Within 3 to 4 days, I made some progress, and they said, you know what, Matt, we're going to ship you off to the last stage of physical therapy, which will be your hopefully your last stage before we can release you from the hospital. So they're going to ship me off. I remember looking down at my stitches, and my stitches had popped open, and my spleen was sticking out of my stomach.
Oh, whoa.
They had to rush me in for a fifth major surgery, where I ended up basically having what's called an open wound surgery, where they couldn't close my skin back up. So I had to leave my wound from my left hip all the way to my right hip completely open, where they ended up putting a massive mesh over it that was going to have to be changed every other day, not knowing when it was going to heal, just having to let the skin eventually grow over and heal. So I get out of it, and once again, I'm back in the ICU room. I get into this ICU room, and I, at this point, if I hadn't hit rock bottom before, I was officially at rock bottom. I just remember sitting there. I remember waking up. My hands were tied to the bed. I couldn't move anything. And I just remember looking at the ceiling and just saying to God, I said, God, I have two options here. I can either give up on my life. I can surrender. I can say, you know, I fought this battle. I've given it my all, and I'm done. Or I can say I'm at the lowest point in my life, and the only place I can go is up. And you know what? From there, I can just be a better person. I can learn from all of these obstacles. I can just overcome what I'm doing and use it to help other people eventually. So you know what I did again? I ended up getting up within 3 days of being in the ICU room. I got up off that bed, and I walked further than I had ever done previous to the ICU room, previous to the recovery room. Within 2 days, I was out of that ICU room. Within 3 days, I was out of that recovery room, and I was into my final stages of physical therapy. Now, when I got to physical therapy, it was very difficult because it was like relearning to do normal activities again. Basically, instead of walking feet this time, I was walking yards. Instead of, you know, getting out of the bed, I was learning to sit on toilets. I was learning to pick up obstacles from the ground. You know, just little things that you take for granted every day, I had to completely learn to relive again. It took about 10 to 12 days, and I just kept making small and small and small progress. And eventually, I was released from the hospital on March 17th of 2017. Now, I want to bring you guys back to the beginning of my story when I said, remember this day. That was the day 1 year ago that I had met my girlfriend, my rock, the person who's there for me every day, you know, when I was going through this. And, you know, I'm telling you, people are brought into your life for a reason. You might not be, you know, with them right now, but I want to let you know that you need to bring them back into your life if they're not in your life. And if they are in your life, you need to recognize them and tell them how much you love them. You know, when I was in this hospital for 53 straight days, Lauren was there every single day. She'd wake up at 6 a.m, fight the nurses because they wouldn't let people come see me till 7 a.m., fight them, somehow get in, sit there. I couldn't talk, go to work, come back, sit there until basically 10, 11 o'clock, and she would just go to bed and repeat and repeat. Weekends would come. Her friends would say, hey, why don't you kind of get your mind off things and go out and hang out with us? Nope. She stayed with me 24/7 on the weekends, and she stayed there every single day. And I'm telling you guys, that if it wasn't for her, if it wasn't for my parents doing the exact same thing, if it wasn't for my friends and family being there for me, I wouldn't be here sharing my story today. So I'm telling you guys, there's that person in your life who's going to be there for you no matter what you go through, no matter what kind of mistakes you make, no matter what kind of obstacles you're going through. Tell them you love them, tell them you care for them, and tell them you need them in your life. So with that being said, when I was released from the hospital, really cool story is the surgeon who did all of the surgeries on me, who did 5 surgeries on me, ended up driving me home that day. It was a really cool experience. And I just remember getting home and, you know, everyone might be thinking, you know, Matt, okay, so you're finally home. You're ready to recover. You're good to go. No, it wasn't like rainbows and butterflies, guys. I was now 110 pounds. I'd lost 20 more pounds because I still couldn't eat anything, really. I could barely eat. I could barely drink anything. It was 110 pounds, and I had no accountability except for Lauren and my parents, because all I had was a nurse coming in every other day to change my wound, and I had one physical therapist coming in once a week. So you know what I ended up doing? I started falling back into depression. I started making those excuses again. I started to start blaming other people. I started giving up on myself again. Within 2 weeks, I was back in the hospital with an elevated heart rate of over 150 beats per minute. I had elevated blood pressure, and I was there for almost an entire week to help, to pretty much get those levels down. When I was released, I still fell into that depression, still fell into those excuses, until one day I completely shifted my identity. I was over Lauren's house. We were hanging out, and I just remember telling her, you know, a joke, and jokingly back, she grabbed my wrist for some reason, and I got really nervous and got really defenseless. I said, please let go. She looked at me and she said, what are you going to do about it? She grabbed it a little bit tighter. I started crying and I said, please let go. I can't do anything about it. She let go. She felt terrible. And I just remember walking over to the couch, just crying for minutes. She comes over to apologize, and I stop her immediately. And I said, do not apologize. I said, if I can't take care of myself, how am I going to take care of you? How am I going to take care of if we have kids? How am I going to take care of my family, my friends, the people who need to hear my message when I overcome all of this and I need to share it to the world? Because if you can't be living proof of what you share and what you want to give back to people, nobody's going to listen to you, because you're just somebody out there that's not giving something that's true value. So you know what I did? I shifted my identity. The next day, I grabbed 5-pound dumbbells. That's all I could lift. And I started doing bicep curls. That's all I could do. You know what I did the next day? Did the exact same thing. And again, and again, and again. And eventually I started lifting a little bit heavier, started eating a little bit, you know, healthier. I started to walk a little bit further. And within a couple of months, I had gained 25 pounds. I was doing really well. And, you know, really cool story is I ended up going back to the ICU room to visit my nurses. I was really proud of myself. I was making progress. I wanted to share with them, like, hey, I'm doing well right now. And when I got there, the first person I saw was the nurse who saved my life when I went into cardiac arrest. Remember, we just we got chills. We started hugging each other. We started crying. And he said, Matt, this is my last day in the ICU room. I'm not even supposed to be here today. I'm supposed to be moving to a different hospital. And I'm telling you, this is somebody up higher bringing me here. Once again, I'm telling you, I got his number. I got his Instagram. I got his social media accounts. We still keep in contact today. People are brought into your life for a reason. I don't know how many more stories I need to share to just tell you guys there are people in your life that are there for you. And if you don't use them, you're not going to be able to overcome these obstacles in life. So within the next few months, I eventually, I would say about 7 to 8 months later, my wound finally healed. It took almost a year to get my wound to finally heal. Then fast forward about 3 to 4 months later, I haven't shared this with anybody yet on any of my podcasts. Like I said before, I shifted my identity of taking care of myself when I was talking to Lauren and that whole thing happened. Well, I remember sitting down. I was pretty much recovered at this time. I was maybe 150, 160 pounds now. This was about a year and a half ago. And I just remember telling myself, like, okay, I've taken care of myself now. Now, how am I going to give back to the world? Like, I have no idea what to do. And I ended up running into this guy. His name was Ed Milet. Now, some of you might not know him. Some of you might know him. And I never actually got to talk to him, but I ran into his YouTube videos. And he had this one YouTube video that just completely changed my life. I remember watching it for an hour, and he talked about being, you know, the best version of yourself, and you are enough, and you can use your obstacles to go help people. And he just was fire for like straight hour. And I'm telling you guys, that person just totally, Ed Milet just totally shifted my mindset, and I started saying, okay, how can I start helping people? If I didn't run into him, I don't think I'd be here today. I actually know I wouldn't be here today because I joined one of his programs for an entire year, met some amazing people. Then I joined the Social X, which I met even more amazing people like Chase here. And this is why I'm on this podcast today, guys. Fast forward a whole nother year from when I just told you guys that story. I'm now 190 pounds. I work out every single day. I just finished Andy Frisella's 75 Hard program. So some of you might know who Andy Frisella is, who's another entrepreneur. And his 75 Hard challenge consisted of drinking a gallon of water a day, working out two times a day, basically no cheat meals, no alcohol, reading 10 pages a day, and taking a progress picture. And I'm telling you this because I want to let you know, I'm not trying to brag here. I'm trying to tell you that if I can do it, I promise you, whatever health, you know, challenge you're going through in life right now, you can overcome what you're going through. If you're trying to lose some weight, you're trying to gain some muscle, if you're just trying to be a healthier person, stop making those excuses and just go after what you believe in because you can do it. I'm living proof of it. I'm just an ordinary person, but I know you can do it. So, with that being said, my mission today is just to help anybody I can who's going through adversity because I want to let all of you know that your adversity in life is a story. It's a personal story that you can use to go out and share to the world and help other people with it. Because today, my story might be able to help people in a broad way, but you have a specific story that's gonna be a lot more important and a lot more impactful to somebody else than mine might be. So I wanna urge you to not be afraid to share your most vulnerable parts of your life. Because guess what? The most vulnerable parts of your life is what people can relate to. That's kind of what I'm trying to, you know, help people with. And in order to do that, guys, to end this off, I just wanna let you know, you have to believe in yourself first before nobody else will. Because guess what? You are going to have this massive dream, this massive vision that you can fit your entire family, your entire friends, everybody you love, your employees, whoever it is inside of this dream, but nobody's going to believe you at first. You can even go to your mom and say, hey, mom, I want to do all these amazing things. She's going to say, that's great, Matt, that's great, Chase. But in the back of their heads, they're like, I'm scared because what if they go broke or what if they do all these things? But guess what? If you believe in yourself, when you get to that destination, guess what? Those biggest doubters, those biggest critics are going to be your biggest fans. I'm telling you guys. So just keep following your purpose. Keep following your passion. And don't be afraid to let go of whatever emotions or adversity you're going through in your life. And with that being said, I just want to say thank you, Chase, for having me on. And whatever questions you guys have or whatever questions you have, I'd be happy to help. And I just hope this helps impact some lives and is willing to help people to go out and just share their story.
Dude, oh my God. That's every time I hear it, it hits right there. God, that is wild. The amount of shit that you had to go through and then you're still coming out and just even like meeting you in person, you're one of the most like positive people I've met like ever. And it's crazy to see how you can go through so much adversity, but still come out you look like you're fine and you're thriving. At that. And I mean, how do you throughout that whole process, how did you just keep that? Because that was a common theme throughout the entire story is that you kept bringing everything to yourself again. You're like, okay, look, I've got two decisions. I got option A where I go downhill, or I got option B where I go uphill. How did you stay on top of that the whole time?
Oh, absolutely. And I'll be honest, I didn't. I mean, you heard me. There was times where I felt, started making excuses, having that self-doubt, but every single day I found some type of gratitude. What am I grateful for? And then I said, you know what? I'm going to quit tomorrow. And you know what I said the next day? I'm going to quit tomorrow. I'm going to keep quitting tomorrow. Oh, which guess what? Yeah. Never going to fucking quit. Not going to quit. I'm not going to give up on myself. I'm not going to give up my life because you only have one life. Think about that. You have one life and you're worried about what the other person that doesn't even care about you is saying right now. You need to be willing to take care of yourself and realize that you have one life. And for me, I was going through those difficult times and what kept me going was saying, listen, this is life or death here. I have two options. So I want to live and I want to be able to help people. And I think that, you know, for me, God has this purpose for me. And I'm going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and letting him, you know, work through me. And that's kind of what kept me going, is just finding what's grateful, saying I'm going to quit tomorrow, and just kept persevering and just kept pushing forward, man. That's it.
I love that. Quit tomorrow. So many people use that, like, oh, I'll start my workout plan tomorrow, or oh, I'll do this one thing tomorrow. Like, I'll quit tomorrow. I'm going to keep pushing off quitting. I love that. I'm gonna start saying that.
Say it, dude. That's all my shit. I love it. Use it. Guess what? I didn't get that from myself. I learned it from other people, like Ed Milet, Andy Frisella, Gary Vee, all these people. I just take their stuff and I just use it in my life, because you know what? That's the more I can help people, the better it is. So.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So when was the transition? Because now you're coming on podcasts, you're speaking at events. When did you realize that your story was just so powerful that you knew you had to share it on these types of platforms? Like, what were those first steps that you took?
Oh, platforms. Well, like I said before, I shifted my identity when I started listening to Ed's YouTube videos, but really shifted me to start going off and saying I can start sharing my story. Probably when I started joining these mastermind groups. So I originally joined one with Ed Milet and Andy Frisella. It's called the Arte Syndicate. I wasn't in the syndicate. They had a smaller program called the Arte Accelerator, where I was with a bunch of different like-minded people, and it was amazing. And when I started sharing my story to these people, it was like they were just in shock, and like I was like, is my story really like that, like, you know, powerful? Is it really like that strong? You know, I know I went through a lot, but I didn't know. And as I kept saying it and sharing it with people, they're like, dude, you need to be a speaker, you need to be on these podcasts. And you know, I just kept going and going and going, and eventually I said, you know what, the first podcast I went on was one of my good friends now, his name's Nick Updike, and he is in Social X Mastermind. He got me rolling. Yeah, he got me rolling. I just remember finishing my first podcast with him, and I was like, man, I love this. And, you know, you just have to take that first step, guys. I think that's what the most important thing is. It's very nerve-wracking. It's very scary, especially to share my story. Trust me, it wasn't just like, I can share my story and I'll be fine. It took a lot of guts and a lot of courage to do it, and it took time. You might not be ready now, but build yourself up. Take those small actions and build yourself up to being able to, and it doesn't have to be your story, but whatever you're trying to do in life, whether it's, you know, building a business or, you know, asking that girl out on a date, I don't know what it is. So for me, it was just being around amazing people that pushed me to want to do it.
Perfect. Perfectly said. Yeah. I mean, even in like my own personal experience, like joining these masterminds, like SocialX, for example, where we met, I mean, it changes your whole outlook on like what's possible. And you have all these people like throwing their support behind you, like, oh yeah, like, oh, this is like my story, or oh, this is what I want to do. Go for it. You're like, you know, for a lot of people, that's foreign to them. They're like, oh, wait, really? I should go do this? Like 100%, go do it. Like being around those like-minded people really helps push you forward. And I mean, I've seen you thrive like ever since, because I know I've known Nick for a while, since like the beginning of SocialX. And I remember seeing your interview on his show. I was like, damn, that's wild. And he was telling me about the Arte Accelerator. I'm like, damn, I wish I would have joined earlier. But it's being around those types of people that really is monumental in pushing you forward to the right path.
Oh, trust me. I'm telling you right now, there's a lot more people on the other end that are going to say, why are you doing this? This is a waste of money. These people are full of, you know, BS and all this crap. You need to drown them out of your life. Like, I'm not saying take those people and like your family and your friends, don't just take them out of your life. They can still be your friends. They can still be your family, but you need to spend less time with them. You need to spend more time with the people that you know are going to elevate you every single day. It's so important. Don't just take people out of your life. That's just rude. That's just not right. But just don't have them consistently in your life, because guess what? You are the average of the five people you hang around with the most. So if you're hanging around with those people the most, you become the average of that group. So that means that you're going to start thinking like them. You're going to start acting like them. But if you go to groups like Social X and the Arte, you're going to start thinking like them. You're going to start acting like them. If you start watching podcasts like people that are higher up, business guys or whoever it might be, motivational people, you're going to start thinking like them. So very important.
Very important. Actually, there's something, a book, The Modern Day Businessman. I actually had the author, Nick Bailey, he came on the show too. And he was saying like in his book, you know, like the same thing, like you're the equivalent of the five people around you. If you want to be a millionaire, surround yourself with five millionaires.
So true.
You're going to be an alcoholic, surround yourself with five alcoholics. Like it's going to happen. Your environment influences the internal. But what's really powerful is like what you've done is using your internal to influence the external. and that completely changes the game.
Absolutely, man. I think it's just, you know, you have to start within, man. If you don't have the right mindset starting off in this journey, you're never going to get there. You have to be able to say, listen, I can do that. That's what I was saying before. You have to believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, who else is going to believe in you? No one's just going to believe in you if you can't believe in yourself. You need to be living proof of what you say and what you do. There's a lot of fake people out there, but there's also a lot of real people too. So find those real people and stick to them like glue. I'm telling you, it's very important.
100%. 100%, man. God, this has been absolutely insane. So, you know, you've spoken at a couple different events and you've been on a couple podcasts. What's been a common question that people have asked you, like that they really, really want to know about you or your story?
Yeah, this is a good one. All right. A lot of people ask me, so Matt, when you were in that coma, what's it like being in a coma? That's a question people ask me a lot. And well, at least they ask me when they're like, oh, I don't want to offend you. I'm like, you're not offending me at all. So for me, I'm sure everybody's different. But for me, when I was in my at least 2 week coma, it was really weird. It was like a dream. It was like a dream that never ended. So I think I would subconsciously start to wake up, subconsciously not wake up. Like I had pictures of nurses, pictures of my friends and my family. And I just remember like near the end of what, before I was about to wake up, I was in this room with all my friends, with all my families, and they were just around me. It was very peaceful. And it was almost like a party just saying like, all right, Matt, like it's time to wake up. It was scary. Like I thinking about it now, like gives me kind of chills, but they're just like, it's time to wake up, Matt. And slowly but surely, like I'll have times where somebody says something to me and it instantly brings me back to like when I was there with like my friends and my family. And I just remember waking up and when they told me the story of all these people that would come visit me. I mean, I had hundreds of people visit me when I was in my coma, just sitting there and praying for me. And I'm telling you, I think that dream and that thing that was in my head wasn't just a dream. It was actually people saying, all right, Matt, it's time now. It's God saying, Matt, it's time to wake up. You are ready to change your life. This was me. I'm grateful for this because guess what? This was him saying, Matt, this is me changing your life for the better. This is me changing your life to go impact the world. I'm doing this for you. I'm not doing this so that it makes something negative out of you. I'm giving this as a positive way for you. And that's how I've been looking at it for the rest of my life. So.
God, I didn't think about asking that. I mean, that must have been just an insane experience. Cause I mean, like thinking about it, yeah, like, consciously it's like, you know, clocked out, but then subconsciously, like it's, you're still picking up on the surroundings. And then, you know, you're very strong in your faith. You know, I respect the hell out of that. That's amazing. And then I've seen has been a huge driving force in like you pushing forward, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I don't question anything anymore. You know, there's been too many things in my life where it's like, why question it? It's just been, you know, person after scenario after, you know, you get a setback and then you push a little further and you get another setback. But guess what? Eventually you get out of that setback and you push 10 times further. I'm telling you guys, if you don't go through difficult parts in your life, you're never going to see that success. You're never going to see the amazing outcomes that you want to, you know, achieve. You have to go through those low points to get to the highest points. It's not just this easy, you know, yellow brick road of just, hey, here's the pathway to success. No, you're going up and down, up and down. So, you know, that's just kind of where I'm at with my faith. And I, like I said, I never push on anybody. So be true to yourself. I'm never going to push it on you. But for me, that's just where I'm at. And I don't even question it anymore. So
that's perfect. Awesome, man. So what does the future look like for you? What are the next steps moving forward?
Yeah, my main objective, get on as many podcasts, get on as many stages, and I want to start doing one-on-one coaching as well, really especially mindset and health and fitness, because I am still a personal trainer as well. And I'm a wellness instructor too, so for a company. So I want to use my health and fitness background still because it's been a vital part of my life, but also I want to teach the importance of having a strong mindset and helping people who are going through adversity right now or who's overcame adversity but doesn't know their purpose in life. And I want to share and help them find that purpose and use it to go out and help other people. So, you know, speaking, podcasts, and just being a coach at some point in my life. And I think that I will get there. I just have to be patient. And, like being on podcasts like this, it makes me excited. I'm fired up right now. Like, I'm excited. So it's where I'm at.
Hell yeah. Hey guys, if you want him on your podcast, hit him up. If you want him as a coach for getting your mind right, I mean, he's got one of the strongest mindsets I've ever seen. Hit him up.
Thanks, brother.
Absolutely incredible, man. So this is something I've been doing on a lot of podcasts. I love doing this question. So let's say that you were the one hosting this interview, right?
Yeah.
You are interviewing you. You are interviewing Matt Odie. What would you ask him?
I would say, what? Oh, man, that's crazy. Maybe I would say, what advice would you give yourself from when you were younger? Maybe not like young, but in your mid to lower, young 20s, before all this happened, what would you say to yourself to maybe kind of prepare you to where you're at now? And what I would tell myself is, like, I had anxiety, I had all these worries and self-doubts, and I still do sometimes, but I'm able to ground myself a little bit more. I think I would tell myself, like, there's a lot more to life than, these little things that we get distracted by every day. And, you have to realize that there's a bigger picture out there. And if you can just go out and just find your purpose and stick to it, all that doubt, all that anxiety starts to just dwindle, because you have a purpose in life and you have something to go out and help people. And I think back then, this is why I went through all of this, because I was in I had major anxiety. I had major self-doubt because I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And this is where I think now all this happened to help me and bring me to this part. So I think I would just ask myself, what some advice could you give to, your younger self? And that would be the answer.
Gotcha. So what would that advice be? It's just to
basically, just realize that, there's more to life than those little things. Go out and find your purpose, find your passion, and don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to fail.
Yes.
Big advice right there. Failure is important. If you don't fail, how are you going to succeed? My gosh, that's just something that's been so important to me. I failed multiple times, and guess what? I'm going to fail many more times. So that's my advice, and that's my answer to it.
Bang.
Yeah.
Boom. I mean, that is a value bomb right there.
Love it, bro. Oh, man. I love these podcasts, especially with you, man. Like, I feel like we have this connection right now that's just super powerful, and I'm able to open up even more than I would on some of these podcasts. And it's just like, this is just great. I love it. This is awesome. It's just like we're having a conversation.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I try to do with everybody who comes on the show, because this is like, it's one thing to listen to like a structured out podcast, like, oh, this is this, and then do this, this is no, like, we all have a story. We all have a different way of thinking about different things. The best way to get the best pieces of advice is through conversations. So, I mean, that's why I like, doing the conversation pieces. That's why I loved having you on, because I know we've had great conversations in the past, and I knew you had an incredible story that I knew a lot of people get a lot of value out of. So Matt, thank you so much for coming on the show. I mean, this means a lot for me, but it also means a lot for the viewers as well. If anybody wants to connect with you in any way whatsoever, how can they go about doing so?
Absolutely. So two good platforms to kind of look at me for is first, Instagram. You can find me at Matty Odie. So MattyOdie. I post every day on my stories, and I try to post at least once or twice a week on my main feeds just to give you guys some value. And I also just started a YouTube channel not too long ago. It's Mustaches for Matt. You can just type that in and look at some of my videos. It's basically, if you want to actually see the video of me, what I went through, I have like two videos on there. I also have me going through the 75 hard challenge. I have an entire video of that. So if you need some motivation there, so those are the two best places to find me. And I appreciate that. Thank you for asking me that, man. Appreciate
Absolutely,
it.
Man. Gotta push the social ad there. All right, everybody. Matt, thank you for coming on the show today. Everybody listening, thank you for listening to this very impactful episode. And until next time, stay healthy, get wealthy.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show. My name is Chase Henderfit. I am your host. And if you have any questions at all, feel free to DM me on Instagram at Chase_Henderfit. And I have one favor to ask.
please just share this episode with one person. You never know who it could help impact. And if you share it on your Instagram story, I'll repost it on mine. So until next time, stay healthy, get wealthy.